So one of my first industry jobs was I was a production assistant on an indie film that shot in New York, and I lived in Washington Heights. So when I saw In the Heights, which is out now on HBO Max and in theaters, part of me was wondering, did they really shoot this in Washington Heights? Because I lived there, and that's not what I remember it being like. So I was really surprised when I spoke to cinematographer Alice Brooks about the film, that she revealed to me, yes, in fact, it was all shot there, almost all of it, including some scenes where I was absolutely sure they were not shot there. So I am corrected in the course of this interview, which is great. I learn a lot about how they used the actual location. I learned a lot about where Alice's inspirations came from, how much she loved classic movie musicals, which you could sort of deduce by watching the film. But look, In the Heights is a great piece of cinema. They took something from the stage, they brought it to life in a cinematic way that has to be seen to be understood fully. You can't really do it justice just talking about it. It borrows from the legacy of movie musicals. It adds all kinds of things that have never been in movie musicals. And it's great. And it's, you know, it's Lin-Manuel Miranda. So of course it's great. But anyway, Alice is a really great interview, and she has a lot of insight into her process as a DP and her collaboration with various departments and the director. And, you know, hopefully you will learn as much as I did in talking to her. I want to talk about sort of where you began as a cinematographer and where your career started. But, you know, In the Heights, which is out now everywhere and is amazing and visually amazing, can you tell us how you got the job to shoot this big musical adapted from a stage? You know, it's so visually alive and complex that I'm curious how it came to be for you.
So I met John Chu at USC 20 years ago. We both went to film school there. And while we were there, he asked me to shoot his short musical, When the Kids Are Away. And we bonded over our love of musicals at that point. I grew up watching musicals. My dad was a playwright. My mom was an actress and a singer. And Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies were on in our house all the time. And
well, now I don't have to ask specifically about the inspiration for dancing on the side of a building.
I know
the answer to that question.
Well, John has an equal amount of maybe more not musical history knowledge than I do, but we bonded over our love of musicals, and we did a dance series together in, I don't know, 2008. We did a dance series together called The Legion of Extraordinary Dancers, where we started working with Chris Scott as a choreographer. And so the three of us, and we've done a bunch of other music-driven things over the years together. And then I was doing an Apple TV series that John directed the pilot for in Vancouver when he asked me to shoot In the Heights. And it was a dream come true. I had known he was attached to In the Heights for a long time, and it was definitely something I wanted to do. And I was just so ecstatic that he wanted me to be the person to collaborate with him.
Yeah, so you were kind of aware of just having collaborated with him in the past of what was going on in his career, and so...
Yeah, I mean, it was in the trades. I mean, it was sort of like, We have a whole group of friends who went to USC together, who we all still work and hang out together. And I mean, it was, you know, well known that he was going to do In the Heights at some point.
And had you seen the show when it was on stage?
I did not see the show, but when I knew he was going to do the movie, I started listening to the music and started sort of visualizing. Anytime I would see an image, I'd collect it and throw it in a file that could possibly be some future reference for In the Heights.
What kind of things can you tell me?
Lots of different things. Like I saw, I mean, doing a dance on the side of the building, on a side of a building, had been like this thing that Chris, John, and I had wanted to do for years. I saw a dance troupe called Bandaloop, who dances on the side of buildings all over the world. They go to different cities and do and perform, and they use wires. And so I looked at, like, so that was just one of many, many different things. But like anytime I'd see something that on Instagram or in passing or at a museum or in a magazine, I would snap a pic and throw it in a file on my computer.
What other kinds of things were like that made it in the end? Were there other like kind of like random things you saw and ended up being in the finished product? You were like, oh, it's great.
Oh my gosh. I had so many images. There was this one image, and actually John, when we both started sharing our images, John, it happens more often than not where we end up with almost all, like, tons of the same references. But there was a shot we both had like several fire escape shots that were inspiration. I can't even remember who the photographer was, but a photograph of all these people stand in a brick building with lots of different colorful outfits on, and they're all standing in windows. And that sort of became inspiration for, It Won't Be Long Now, with the fabrics coming out of the windows. I mean, these were people, but that idea of just these colorful clothing and colorful fabrics.
There is so much visual, for lack of a better word, inspiration in the movie, from the way the culture influences to the way the city to the way musicals of the past. Obviously, there's some like Busby Berkeley in there to, you know, there's just so much. It's packed in there. And it's amazing thinking that I'll ask this question this way. Last summer, Hamilton came out, right? And it was the stage production. It was also Lin-Manuel Miranda. And we saw a stage production. And so this year, again, in the summer, like, we get this big Lin-Manuel Miranda musical, but it's the complete opposite, because this was so cinematic. You know, it wasn't taking place on a stage. I'm really curious, and I think probably a lot of people who watched it are like, what the process for you and John, and was Lynn involved in the talking through how we are going to make this such a visual experience, like a cinematic visual experience?
So Kiara wrote the stage book or the play, the script for the musical, and Lynn wrote the music for In the Heights. And Kiara then wrote our screenplay. And Kiara and Lynn and John, I believe, worked together for a really long time on developing the screenplay to adapt it from the stage to the screen. And so by the time I was involved, they were doing one final rewrite, but most of John's ideas were in it. You can read all over the place. Lynn says John had this huge idea for these musical numbers, and they were. I mean, you go see the stage show, and it's vastly different than the movie in terms of, you know, there's no swimming pool with 500 people.
That's a huge swimming pool. I lived in Washington Heights for a little while. There's no pool that big there.
There is. It's in Washington Heights.
Oh, really? The pool is?
Yeah, it's the Highbridge Park swimming pool. And it's, if you walk down 174th Street, you can.
Did you guys shoot it there?
We shot it there. You can take the exact same walk the guys take. No, it's like, it used to be the water system for the reservoir system for New York City in the 1900s. And then it became a public park. And yeah, there are these two huge public swimming pools right there in Washington Heights.
That's amazing. Well, I'm glad that I was wrong. I'm glad that I was corrected. And now that's even more inspired then, because it's like, I had thought, like, I obviously didn't explore enough, but I had thought that you had taken this, you guys took this big idea of doing like the Busby Berkeley, like water number. And you were like, let's just blow up what it would be if it was a public pool in New York City, and like make it like big and larger than life. But in fact, that's what it is. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, Kiara, John, and Lynn and Kiara live in Washington Heights, and they took John on a tour of Washington Heights before they started writing the script. And they were with locations people, and And at the end of the day, John's like, to Kiara, he's like, what else do you have? And he wanted like the insider scoop instead of the location person's ideas. And she's like, well, there's the swimming pool we go to every day in the summer. Do you want to look at that? He's like, yes.
That's so cool. Okay. Well, in fairness, I was there in the winter, so it was probably not open, but, that's so cool. So when you tech scout, like when did you come into the scouts? Like they obviously, like a lot of these things are decided and they've, you know, the script's written, but like you're looking at it and saying, okay, we're going to, you know, shoot this crazy sequence in this pool. Like what cameras did you shoot on and what was prep like?
So I arrived in New York in March 2019 for 10 weeks of prep before we started filming. And some locations were definitely chosen, like the swimming pool. There were other locations that John Chu, Chris Scott, and Myron Kirsten, so the editor, the production designer, and the costume designer, and myself all came from the TV series that we were doing together in Vancouver to Washington Heights to do In the Heights. So we had just been working together for a long time. And while we were in Vancouver, the production designer came to New York for a weekend just to look for the bodega, the main intersection. And when he left Vancouver, I said to him, Nelson, you've got to find me a Southwest bodega. And in the end, that's what we ended up with. For lighting purposes, I wanted a bodega on the Southwest corner.
Can you explain to us your reasoning or the necessity?
Without going into lots of detail, it just had to do with the sun path. So I wanted, when we looked at the bodega, when we were looking south, I wanted it to be lit from the south if the sun were in that direction, or I wanted it to be in the afternoon lit from the west, so that the bodega always had this great light source coming towards it.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, we have so many of our listeners are cinematographers or camera department and aspiring to be. So that's the kind of thing that is so useful to know that you had identified, like, this is where I want the natural light to be coming from.
And then, and I mean, it all worked out perfectly because that bodega, where the bodega is, was great. The street lines up perfectly with the George Washington Bridge, and in the summer, the sun lines perfectly up with the street in the months we were shooting there. So it ended up being fantastic. So I was involved in conversations before I got to New York, for sure. And then when I got to New York, we started looking at searching for all the other locations. Abuela's apartment, we thought maybe we'd build that on the soundstage and then the Rosario apartment, but both of those ended up, the Abuela's we found actually right there in our intersection. There's a brownstone that we were able to get into, and it was really modern inside, and the production designer did a beautiful job with it, but it's a very narrow apartment. It's 15 feet wide at its widest, and it's 30 feet long, and there are two windows on either end and a very dark kitchen in the middle. And John walked in, and it was so modern when we walked in. It had just been renovated. And John walked in and he's like, this is it. This is Abuela's nest. And he loved that from the window, you could see the dispatch, you could see the salon, you could see the bodega. And the idea of a nest in a community, of the place where people go when they need comfort and support and to be pushed on and encouraged and for the wisdom of the elders, was really an important theme in the movie. And so that apartment, we wanted to have this warmth and heart to it. And we're very lucky we ended up finding it right there, even though it was challenging to shoot in such a small space. The opening is shot, part of the opening number shot there. Blackout, A La Bonza, and Champagne are all shot there, and then part of the finale. So you've got, and a couple of those musical numbers have almost our entire cast in them, and it's really a small space.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Yeah, can you tell? I mean, again, from a gear and crew perspective, like, how do you plan around shooting in there? And what camera did you shoot on?
We shot on the Panavision DXL2 with anamorphic G-series lenses. And it was tricky because you had to walk through someone else's apartment on the ground floor level to get to the backyard to access, a very small courtyard to put our lights out the back windows in the Abuela's bedroom. And then we had lifts on the front side of the apartment with an 18K Arimax and an 18K Fresnel that was usually on a lift outside the window for the day work. And then inside we just hid little light gear products, light mats, mainly in the kitchen, just because that space was so dark. But there was no place for gear in the apartment. Everything had to be rigged into the ceiling or from outside.
Yeah. So you use a lot of practical inside, like replacing practical sources.
Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, blackout is there's no electricity, so we couldn't use practical sources. So
yeah. What did you do there?
We put some lights in the ceiling very low at 45,000 degree Kelvin and dimmed like to the very bottom percentage. And so we just had a teeny bit of ambience. And then everything else for blackout is lit with double wick candles and then iPhones that we turned up facing up. And we put John and I one night, there was this huge thunderstorm before we shot that number. And we were, someone from locations told us, or the AD team told us to go inside of Abuela's apartment. And so we're in a dark apartment and it was Lynn, me, Kiara, John, and the McCall, the set photographer, sitting inside with this massive thunderstorm going on outside. And John and I turned on our cell phones and then we started wandering around Abuela's apartment looking for beautiful pieces of glass in different colors. And that's what the salon ladies do when they come into the apartment during blackout and they light the apartment with their cell phones and these beautiful little pieces of glass that Abuela's collected over her lifetime.
Yeah, it's really cool. Also, just the contrast again to all this summer heat look that's really bright and like, I don't want to say blown out, it's not that, but how do you shoot and capture heat the way you did? I mean, I'm assuming it was probably pretty hot now that I know you were really there. Assuming it was actually hot. So, but there's something about the visual nature that it goes beyond like a tint or a blown out, whatever people look like. It just looks hot. I don't know how else to put it. Like what tools do you use to do that?
So summer in Washington Heights is different than anywhere else that I've ever been in the world. The light is different. It's not a tropical summer. It's not a Hawaii summer. It's not a Los Angeles summer. It's very specific. And it's not actually even a Manhattan summer. I called it urban summer while we were shooting there, but it's actually more specific than that. It's a Washington Heights summer. The buildings are lower than they are in most of the rest of Manhattan. There's very little red brick. There's lots of this sort of gray, silvery, beautifully patinaed brick that when the sun hits it, it creates this beautiful, cool shadow or cool, just like this coolness that bouncing off of the building. And then you've got the very, very warm sun. So we've got these cool shadows and this warm sun that we played with or that exists in Washington Heights. There's also two huge bodies of water on either side of Washington Heights. It's a very narrow tip of Manhattan. And so you can walk across it in like 5 minutes or something. You can go from river to river very easily. And so you also have these two reflecting pools. And so I think the light there's just different and summer feels different there. And when we first started coloring the movie, doing the digital intermediate on the movie, you know, a year after we shot it, that was the conversation I had with the colorist, because I really, really wanted it to feel like the summer I had had in New York. I didn't want it to just like be injected with warm, this yellowy, warm, orangey thing, because that's what people think hot. You need to make it feel hot. Because that's not summer in Washington Heights. And so we started coloring Carnival first. And because I knew if we got the color right in that scene, then the rest would fall into place. And it did. I mean, the color in the movie and the feeling I get when I watch it is the same feeling I had when I was there. And I want people, when they see the movie, I want them to be able to taste the tastes and smell the smells and hear the sounds. And I want it to be a visceral experience that comes from the images, and not to think about it, but just a real visceral experience.
It definitely does. I'm not just saying that. I'm not the only person who thinks that. I've talked to multiple people who say that, and yeah, there's something definitely visceral and sense oriented about the experience of it. And it's amazing, especially because you keep thinking when you're watching it, like, this was a stage performance. So this was something they created for this experience. A lot of it feels like it's a marriage between also production design and photography. How closely did you work with the art department? Where were the collaborations, or what were those conversations like? Or did you see the things they were doing and think, oh, that's something I really want to feature because of how much it captures that look and feel?
Yeah. So this was the second project in a row I did with the production designer, Nelson Coates. And we have an amazing collaboration together. He is fantastic and so detail oriented, and every single thing in the movie is curated, and and the research that he does. And so when I got to New York, he was there. He had gone in there maybe a week before I did. And he brought me up to his room and started showing me pictures. And at this point, like, we've done a project together. We trust each other. We get along really well. But we hadn't started in the Heights yet. And this was a different beast than our TV series. And then I would show him my images, and actually the costume designer, Mitchell Travers as well, who was also in Vancouver with us. The three of us just really were in sync on the visuals, and we share things. Like, I would go and sit in the costume department, which was near where our production offices were, where my office and Nelson's were. I would go down to his the costume department, and he would walk me through the crazy amounts of costumes on the movie, and just so that I would start to get a sense of what the colors were going to be way before we started shooting. And he would send me pictures, but
does it get overwhelming? Because like, just thinking about the visual world, just thinking about all the colors people were wearing, or all the different outfits, and all the, like, was it overwhelming? I guess that's my question.
No, it's just like part of your toolkit, right? Like, that it's part of the color palette, and to, like, for all of us to be immersed in that together, it's wonderful. I love when all the departments work together the way that the three of us work together. Like, when you have, you know, your creative team really in sync and wanting to share ideas, it's fantastic. I mean, filmmaking is a team effort, and when it works, it's magnificent. And this was definitely a magnificent experience.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, that's fun to hear. It's always nice to hear that version of it. It feels like there was fun being had when you watch it. Sometimes you can kind of tell. You, John, and Nelson all come from, you know, different places, backgrounds, and not from Washington Heights. And Lynn and Kiara, who, you know, the original sort of the book and music by, are from Washington Heights. Was there a bit of a, like, trepidation with the culture, with the place, maybe trepidation is the wrong word. How did you carefully approach, like, hey, we want to be true to this. We want to be honest to what this place is like and what the experience for people there is. And we're not from there. You know, how did you guys tackle that? Did you talk about it? Like, what was the process like?
So I grew up in New York City till I was 10, and I lived in a neighborhood before it was gentrified, and it was a Puerto Rican neighborhood and an Italian neighborhood. And so, but I grew up living in New York in a place pre-gentrification.
So you knew this story in it just from a different location. You knew this.
Yeah,
experience.
I mean, each neighborhood is so different. So I can't say I knew it exactly, but I know I played in the fire hydrants when I was a kid. I would go to my corner bodega and get, you know, a pickle and a quarter water. And there was a community. I lived in a walk-up apartment in a tenement building. Everyone in my building was Italian except for us. And the smells of the Italian food and the women, the older women being such a wonderful resource to the younger people. And, you know, my sister and I would walk up our steps, and on apartment two, Rose and Mary were sisters and they lived there, and their door was always open and we could go in anytime we wanted. And we lived in this 300 square foot apartment. I mean, but you're in the middle of New York City, but there was so much community there. And so I had that sense of community in the middle of a very big city. So I could bring that feeling from my childhood for sure. And it's different. It's not the same. Washington Heights is its own wonderful, amazing place. But the community, the idea of community that seems to be disappearing from so many communities, it still exists in Washington Heights. And so I could definitely identify with the story. Nina to me is the character I identified most with when I first read the script. But it's about dreams. I mean, I think anyone can relate to the movie. And what's fascinating to me is I've done something like 40 interviews, and each reporter or each person I talk to wants to, like, it has something different that they connect with. And I think it's because you've got 12 main characters, and each one has a different dream. So as an audience member, you can sort of latch on to what character you identify with, what dream you identify with.
Yeah, that's it's interesting that you could say, you know, oh, I actually have, like you said, well said, it's not exactly the same. You know, it's New York, it's a neighborhood that's getting gentrified, but it's not. It's every neighborhood is unique. And every time in a neighborhood is unique. Neighborhoods change so much just decade to decade. Got New York in the last 20, 30 years has transformed a few times, I think, and certainly little pockets of it. But still, you had a touchstone. You had somewhere you could go, and it seems like that informed you. Is that, like, you know, in this instance, that's something that was there? Do you feel like it's hard if you don't have that? Or how do you find that as a creative, you know, even going beyond In the Heights? Say you came to a project like this and you're like, I can't relate to this part of it. Where do you try to find your avenue creatively?
I think I've been lucky because I have been able to identify, at least in recent years, been able to identify with the material that I've been working with. I've got a 6-year-old daughter now, and I've been trying to figure out, people ask me, you know, my agent or whoever asks me what kind of projects I want to be doing next. And it's not a genre. It's not a specific story that I want to tell, but it is something I want to make movies that will inspire her, that are worth telling children. They don't have to cater to children, but that won't, you know, inspire her maybe 5-10 years from now, but that has something to say about the world. And so I think anytime I want to do a project, I identify with it in some way, you know, whether it's my childhood or a message or a character. I think I don't think I'd want to make a movie unless I had a personal
Unless you could find that avenue to connect to it. Well, just on that subject, my six-year-old son is obsessed with the movie.
Oh, great.
He loves it. He wants to watch it over and over. I'm not joking. He likes to listen to the soundtrack. So when I told him, I was like, you know, I'm going to talk to somebody who shot it. And then he was like, pulled it up and he was like, I want to talk about this part and I want you to talk about this part. And I was like, okay, well, some of that is special effects. So it's not necessarily, he really likes when they're walking to the pool and there's the animation.
Oh, yes. Oh, but, good. I'm glad he likes that.
But I do think, like, you know, as a parent and just as a person in this world, one of the things that's great about this movie is it's a, you know, dynamic, immersive experience, but it's exposing people to different kinds of people, different kinds of cultures. And I think that, you know, it's cool that a group of people who, a diverse group, put it together and not all the same as the culture represented.
Yeah, I mean, John Chu is his parents are Chinese and he has his own first generation American story. I think we all have, there's different, everyone comes from different backgrounds. Nelson's from Texas. I'm from New York. John's from the Bay Area. I mean, that's what's so amazing about film and movies, and is that so many people from all different walks of life are able to come together and create something. And, you know, it's a very much a circus life that we live. I go from movie to movie and city to city, and you work really intensely and creatively with wonderful, wonderful people all over the world. And then you leave and you don't know when the next time you're going to see them. And I mean, that happened on In the Heights. We all left and we didn't know it was going to be 2 years before our movie came out. We didn't know what was about to hit us with COVID. And so at the premiere at Tribeca 10 days ago on the, what was the yellow carpet, it was just this complete love fest among the cast and the crew, because we hadn't, we've all been in touch, or, you know, different people have stayed in touch, but you haven't seen each other face to face, and then getting to share your movie with each other, and that we all spent 49 days in New York City filming. It's pretty, in 2019, it's an amazing, special group of people, and our diverse backgrounds, I think, add to that story.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much about the last year, but the timing of this release and it being a summer release and it being in theaters and things starting to open up a little bit, there was something very celebratory about it. It was nice. It was a really nice movie to have be. I think one of our staff writers at No Film School even tweeted. He was like, perfect movie to go back to the movies with. Feels like a celebration. And I want to end, but I want to ask again, like you mentioned at the beginning, being around Fred Astaire a lot growing up. I was too. My mother never stopped watching Fred Astaire. Loves all of it. And classic movies are a big part of my life. But I just want to know more about the way the inspiration of musical history, the great musicals, the ones you love that you would recommend to people that had a real influence on you, that inspire you, just to add to people's watch list, if nothing else.
Sure. Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers movies, Swing Time, Gate of Orsay, and Top Hat are like my three top favorites. But movies in general, I'm just like when we watched a lot of classic New York movies while we were prepping In the Heights, because that was, there was an aspiration to make a classic New York movie about a neighborhood that hasn't really been represented in New York before. And so we watched Do the Right Thing, Searching for Bobby Fischer, Moonstruck. Those three are top movies that I watch all the time. But then just personally, the two movies that have inspired me the most in my life are The Natural and The Black Stallion, both shot by Caleb Deschanel. And I would watch those movies when I was, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 in my dad's arms. And they are just still to this day, my top two favorite, most beautiful movies of all time.
And did watching those movies when you were a kid with your dad, is that kind of, did you have this like, I want to make movies or I want to shoot the beautiful photography, or like what something spoke to you about that?
When I close my eyes and think about the movie, I just see light. I see these sort of refracted particles of light. And I don't know. When I was 5, I definitely didn't know I wanted to be a DP. I knew when I was 15, but But at five, I just got to watch amazing movies with my dad and
That's
my
really
mom.
Cool. Have you ever met Caleb? I mean, he went to USC too. He's like one of the OG USC.
I have never met him at all. And I would love to meet him one day.
That's very cool. Yeah, no, he's amazing. And you're amazing. And it's I'm sure he's a fan because having seen this, it really does jump out at you, the visual, the way the movie looks, the way the natural light, the way you crafted the light of the space, and hearing you talk about it, particularly like where you want it to be or what locations you wanted to use, it's very informative. So thank you so much for doing this.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much, George. This was wonderful. So thank you for including me.
Thanks so much to everybody for listening. Thanks to Alice Brooks for coming on the podcast. Be sure to check out In the Heights. It's streaming on HBO Max and it is in theaters. Head over to nofilmschool.com. Check out our gear guide. Scroll down to the bottom of the page. You'll see a section in the footer for gear guides. If you're looking to buy gear or compare things, that's a great place to do it. Please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Let us know what you like or don't like about what we're doing. Leave a comment. Send questions for our weekly podcast, which drops Thursdays every single week at editor@nofilmschool.com. We love your questions. It helps us make this show better for you. And of course, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, all that good stuff. Thanks so much for listening.